Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
For the fans, this is not something that's a long-term issue, and that's why we listed him as week-to-week. And like I said, we're hopeful he'll play this weekend, but we're not going to miss one step, you know, as it goes through it.
I'm going to believe his mother more than Dan Quinn. Are you kidding me? His mother said he's fine. And he was out there waving a towel the second half. That doesn't look like a guy that's got broken ribs and is all taped up.
Wani talking with Mully and Haw this morning about whether or not Jaden Daniels is going to find his way onto the field on Sunday to give us the matchup that everyone's been looking forward to. The two top rookie quarterbacks going after it.
I haven't turned the page yet, so I'm not sure. As we know, I've not turned the page yet. What I've done is I hit the button at the bottom of the Kindle that made the top half of the next page show up, but I still have the bottom half of the page that I'm currently on. So it's kind of a split, you know?
So you're still going with this bit. Okay. All right.
Am I alone? It's possible.
I also think that it's weird that you then came in here yesterday and announced, we are not turning the page.
Yesterday I did. And then this morning I wanted to. I really wanted to. So really what's happening is I'm
Matty Waffles
I'm dying
over here.
I'm so bored of this page.
But listen, man.
I'm so bored of the page.
Have you ever had that thing where it happens when you read a page and you're like, I don't think I got it.
Yeah.
And then you read it again and you're like, I don't think I got it.
Well, right. You guys just don't think I got it because I'm picking the Bears to sweep the Packers.
No, dude. We just have a dedicated reading time. And we dedicated that Wednesdays.
Yeah. Very important.
We read on Wednesdays.
That's true.
You pick the Bears to sweep the Packers, and I just don't think you read books at all.
I do. I read books all the time.
Or watch the games, apparently.
I read them fast. No, I read books while I watch the games. Is that a problem?
Yeah, that's where you're doing wrong. Yeah, you should look up at the Packers and see why they're better.
It's good to have a dedicated reading time. It's very good. In fact, just last night, Ruben said, Dad, I already read for like an hour. Can I just not read at my reading time and instead play video games? It's a good question.
And what was your answer?
I went with yes, but then Steen said no, and so I went with no. You know?
Smart. Smart. Did you see him reading for the hour?
I did. There was visual proof of the reading that had already gone on.
It was a book about Roblox.
Bone dry.
So in that case, do you just wish he would have said to you earlier, hey, I'm going to read earlier so I can play video games later?
No, because the real thing is like, you don't want to be looking, you don't want the kid to be looking at the video screen and the games right before bed. That light is not good for his brain development and for his eyes and stuff. So
it's not good for any of us.
If
we can go an hour without our phones before we go to bed,
we're all better off.
We will sleep better.
Correct. So,
but we can't. It's usually the last thing we look at before we close our eyes.
I have a reading light in the bedroom and I try to like use the reading light and actually do some reading to like slow myself down. It's just hard, man. Screens are fun.
It was crazy. Like, I had this weird thing happen with my eyesight where when I was in grad school, my eyesight got better from year to year because I was actually reading books.
That's crazy.
My girlfriend calls me out of the blue light thing watching TikToks every night before I go to bed. So are you saying I should actually try it instead of just telling her I don't want to?
And that, not only is she right about that, she's also like, the ridiculous damage to your attention span that the TikToks are doing.
Wait, I mean, what'd you say?
Exactly.
Who are you?
Exactly. And it's going to get to the point, Shane, that you're going to get exasperated over my turning the page bit. It's going to get to that point. And that's when we know we've got a problem, mister. So anyway.
Should we update the reference?
What, on Turn the Page?
Yeah, I mean.
I think people know.
No, I'm saying, but should we call it swipe instead of turning the page? Should we swipe?
But then we lose the sound of Ryan Poles turning a page. Yeah. We need to get the sound of him swiping.
Does Metallica
something.
Have a song about swiping?
We don't have time to redo all the production. We can't have it. Taddy's too
to scroll again.
Yeah. I'm sure that Tommy what's his name guy has this
on my Kindle.
I'm sure he's got a song about swiping or something. Tommy Richmond or something. He's got a song about it. We could do that.
Oh,
wait, before
man.
We turn the page on this segment, a couple of culinary shout outs. One, last night I left here and I was like, I really want pizza. And I left and I was like, you know what? I'm going old school. I went to Pat's in Lincoln Park with a crispy cracker thin crust. It is my favorite thin crust in the city.
On Western near Addison?
No, on Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
Right off of Lincoln and Wrightwood, like around there.
Okay.
Shout out to Mark. Big listener of the show.
Outstanding.
And I was like, hi, I'm Lawrence. And he's like, wait, you're... I'm like, yes.
I should get their address right. Where is it again?
2679 North Lincoln.
Okay.
I think that's right. But he was like, I love the show and wanted me to say hello to you.
Okay.
Secondly.
Pat's Pizza and Ristorante. Damn it. I've
loved it since college and it's still amazing. Secondly.
I'm thinking of Pete's. My bad.
Pizza's also really good. Mm-hmm. But I was at Pat's.
Got it.
Shane made us bread. And I know that that sounds really simple. It was not, my friends. This was excellent focaccia bread. It was amazing.
He put the I in there, too.
Did I?
I do that, too.
Focaccia.
Yeah, you pronounce it how you want. I appreciate the compliment.
He can pronounce it how he wants, focaccia. But I can't pronounce it how I want.
Shane's just trying to make me feel better because I'm the new member of the team.
Right.
That's all he's doing.
Give it 6 months and I would say, focaccia, moron.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that yet.
He's not doing yet. That.
Giving you time to get comfortable.
6 months is generous, by the way.
But the that was
unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we tasted it. There was like the garlic confit that was happening. He used the oil from the garlic confit. There was rosemary. There was sage. That's what that I couldn't.
Page.
I could not figure out what the missing ingredient was. You suggested that it might have been love.
Yes, there was definitely some love.
There was.
And some sea salt.
Yes, but there was also some sage.
And butter.
No butter.
No butter?
Just zero oil. Butter in that bread.
Are you serious?
That's focaccia. Focaccia doesn't have butter, right? Correct.
Dude, yeah. That is amazing bread. I look, as someone who a lot of people who have like Crohn's or IBS, carbs is what we live off of. That is a perfect Crohn's like meal right there. What you offer today, like so. I want you to know that I appreciate it on multiple levels.
I'll bring you a couple. You could freeze them for your carb portion.
I'm down.
My bad.
For your future Crohn's meals.
That's what I was going for. I didn't know that was going to be.
It's good.
No, that's fine.
Are there Crohn-specific food trucks? Because maybe Shane should open one.
Or, well, we probably just have bread and applesauce and bananas and rice.
A lot of peanuts. Yeah.
Is there a Crohn's cookbook?
Is there a Crohn's cookbook?
There probably is, there but it's
not. Patent pending. I'm working on it right now.
Let's cook up this Crohn's.
No, yeah, it's Pat's Pizza, not patent
not
pending.
Yeah, it's Pat's Pizza.
That's on Western.
But it's really good.
Incredible.
Do you think that, I mean, I don't mean to put labor on you, and we have not discussed this, but do you think you could bring some for Thursday?
Oh, my God.
I will.
No.
I'm already planning.
I don't mean for us. I mean for the people that are going to.
Yeah, just for, like, dozens and dozens of more people.
Yeah, for the people that are going to be in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio when we do our show there.
I'll bring a couple of loaves. We'll cut them up small.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
Isn't it?
That is exciting. That's going to be great, by the way. Thursday is going to be the first time that this show is in front of a live audience, the Spiegel and Holmes show, and that'll be at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be listening today and tomorrow.
Nope, not tomorrow. Today's the last day.
Be listening today to win tickets to come see us and hang out
okay.
on Tuesday.
You, sir, have scoopage.
So, look, I was talking to a league source. Within the NFL, that's the league that I'm talking about, okay? Who knows Dan Quinn really, really well. And I really like Dan Quinn as a head coaching candidate. Some may remember I was advocating for him when Eberflus got picked. And I had
a whole bunch of folders.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. And I'm really a fan of Dan Quinn. And then I learned a lot more about Dan Quinn in some conversations with the league source. Basically, Dan Quinn is being credited with flipping the culture there in Washington in like these 6 months. The comp that I was given as a personality type and a leader type for Dan Quinn, you ready? Is Dan Campbell. That's the comp that I was given.
That's a pretty excellent comp these days.
A communicator, a leader who misses nothing. Super smart, but emotionally smart. Which dovetails with what Colton Pouncey from The Athletic told us yesterday, emotional intelligence. I was told emotionally smart, intuitive. He's just a guy, straight talk, no coach speak, no buzzwords, legit great heart-to-heart communicator is the way it was described to me. And that's the job. He effectively makes guys willing to check their ego. He does that. He lets the coordinators coordinate, but he, as the leader, makes sure the message is across for everyone to check your damn ego at the door. And because he's been this kind of heart-to-heart communicator and it's been obvious what he is, he's got great friends in the coaching ranks and has for decades. So when it comes time to put a staff together, you got a bunch of people saying, yep, I will come work for you. I will come do this for you. So Dan Quinn getting a lot of love for what he has done in these 6 months in Washington, and the comp as a personality given was Dan Campbell.
I wonder if there are some people who are in Dallas right now wondering if the wrong coach left. I know that when it came to the defensive players there, how they felt about him, how people felt about him when he was in Atlanta as well. And sometimes it takes a while, and that's what you're hoping is happening with Eberflus, that now he's like, he's in his bag now, like he's starting to understand what the responsibilities are, what the pitfalls are of being a head coach instead of just being a defensive coordinator, and that he's getting ready to take off. It helps when you've got, hopefully, you've got the quarterback thing kind of settled too.
Yeah, but this whole time that I'm reading this description to you and sharing it, because it was happening to me as I was hearing it.
You were getting jealous.
Thinking about Eberflus.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I don't think Eberflus is a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad coach. But he's not that. I don't believe that he is that as described in terms of, I mean.
I will push back on it a little bit.
Okay.
And here's why. Dan and I used to talk with Jaquan Brisker every week.
Dan Bernstein.
Yes, he does middays here with Marshall Harris and with Layla Rahimi on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
A lot of Dans in this conversation. Just needed to clarify.
Yes. So we would have Jaquan Brisker on, and it was interesting the way that Kwani B would talk about his meetings every week with Eberflus, that he felt like he could go to his office and talk to him like whenever.
Yeah.
And the fact that he could say stuff to him as someone on the field and come back to him and be like, hey, I know that we were supposed to be in this. I think we should probably do this. And here's why. And Eberflus was open to that. Those players where I,
They do have that buy-in. And look, I've been enthusiastic at times. I've been the guy who's enthusiastic because I do see the buy-in that you're talking about. Jalen has given us glimpses of it. And some other players have given us glimpses. But you're talking about direct stuff from Kwan.
And from Eberflus.
Yeah.
I've been dying because, you know, it'd been we hadn't really gotten Matt Eberflus on the score. So when Dan and Layla and I got him last month, was that long ago? In August, when we got Eberflus on, I have been dying to ask him about the play calling aspect of his Bears career. Because to me, that's where things changed.
Mm-hmm.
It changed when he actually, instead of looking at it as being the CEO head coach of the Bears, he was closer.
Got reconnected to it.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And I asked him like about that, and he said, yeah, you know, I think that there is something to the idea of being the play caller and being closer to this thing. So I know that like when you hear all this about like Dan Quinn, it makes you kind of reflexively look at Eberflus and go, well, he's not that. I want to give him his credit that he might be more than that than you're saying.
All right. I think that that is probably true. And I appreciate the rejiggering of the perspective. It does come at a time when we're talking about all the head coaches in this division, and it's clear that, I think it's clear that Dan Campbell is a really damn good one. I think it's really clear that Matt LaFleur is a really damn good one. And I think it seems like Kevin O'Connell is a really damn good one. Now, are they, in terms, because I agree with this league source's assessment of what makes a good head coach in terms of that kind of communicator, heart-to-heart communicator, the ability to get people to check their egos at the door, is, you know, and no buzzwords and stuff. That obviously rings the bell on the hits principle and stuff like that. I can't argue for Eberflus as anything but fourth in the division, but that doesn't mean he's...
That's okay.
That doesn't mean he's 30th in the league.
Correct.
It means we can comfortably say it's a really good moment for the division. And yeah, I think our guy's probably fourth, but he might not be 15th. You know what I mean? He might not be 17th.
And when you start looking at the other coaches, too,
yeah,
one of the things where if you wanted to make an argument against Matt Eberflus is the hiring. Like, if you were, like, let's say that you were stuck, right, between yeah. Eberflus and O'Connell, because the other two guys are clearly, like, ahead of Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, in terms of which coordinators they've hired.
Exactly.
Dude, Ben Johnson is the best offensive coordinator in the NFL.
And you look at,
that's a Dan Campbell hire.
And you look at O'Connell and you go, okay, I'm really strong on offense. Like, I got that part.
I need a brilliant defensive guy.
I need a partner. I need a partner. And he wasn't afraid to go get Brian Flores to be his partner. So if you are looking, if you're looking for it, that's where I would say you found it when comparing Eberflus to the rest of the division.
Well, Luke Getsy feels like a whiff. Luke Getsy feels like a swing and a miss.
I mean, you don't have to even talk about Luke Getsy.
Okay.
You had to fire coordinators.
Alan Williams fired.
Yes.
Luke Getsy fired and moved on. I think Eric Washington seems to be a pretty damn good hire.
Yep.
I'm feeling really good about Eric Washington, the way he communicates, the way he teaches, the improvement we're already seeing on the defensive line, which was supposed to be his calling card, and we're seeing some of that right here. Shane Waldron?
Question mark.
Looked really bad after a couple weeks,
yeah,
man.
But that, see, to me, that's a check mark in Eberflus's favor, is he was a, this goes back to the concept of him listening to the guys in the locker room.
I thoroughly agree, and I voiced that as I was talking to this league source today. Like, what has gone on over the last month? As Jason Leisure did a nice job of crediting Eberflus for, the players went to Eberflus first,
right?
And Eberflus said, "All right, we got an issue here. Let's go to Shane." Or you guys go to Shane.
Let's go back through the chain of command.
You
guys go to your coordinator. And if you don't get satisfaction from talking to your coordinator, come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll deal with it. And so the players are like, you're right. They went to him and things got fixed. I think that reeks of, and I mean this in a positive way, that reeks of there being a level of accountability and trust there that he has been able to foster with his locker room.
I thoroughly agree. I thoroughly agree. So I think we hit on some of the nuance, which doesn't have room or place sometimes in the conversation. But Ken, it's okay if he's fourth in a damn good division right now.
100%. It's okay for that to be the case. But I feel you though. Like, there, what your source told you about this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people around the NFL feel similarly about that Dan Quinn has the ability to be like the next like great head coach in the league.
And he already took a team to a Super Bowl once.
So
as a defensive coordinator, excuse me.
Completely get.
Oh wait, no, he did it as a head coach too, right? Because Atlanta, he was up 28-3 on Brady.
Then things broke bad.
Yeah, they certainly did. But he did bring that team to a Super Bowl.
On another head coach. There's another head coach that was involved in that. Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't LaFleur on that staff, too?
Yeah. Wait.
Check that offensive staff.
Yeah, we'll have to check that.
I feel like LaFleur might have been on there as well. That was Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator for Matt Ryan and the 28-3 lead-blowing Atlanta Falcons. Dan Quinn as the head coach. You can check on that. A texter reminds us, and he is correct, that Dan Campbell picked Anthony Lynn as his offensive coordinator, and they went 3-13-1, and he fired Anthony Lynn. So, and before he moved on to Ben Johnson,
LaFleur quarterbacks coach for the 15-16 Falcons.
So he was Matt LaFleur was quarterbacks coach, and Kyle Shanahan offensive coordinator for that team as the defensive minded head coach blew the 28-3 lead.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
Yeah, it's rough.
Didn't go well.
Out in these streets.
By the way, we were talking about Shane's bread. Shane, are you making bread for humans and people out there that is available for purchase?
I'm a human.
Yeah, I am doing that. I tried one time before and I had a lot of shipping problems. So if you're part of that
shipping,
yeah. If you're part of that crew that didn't get bread, let me know. But I'm doing pickup now. It'll be pickup probably here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Great.
Yeah. That's all, so how can they find you? Where do they go?
Instagram or Twitter. Shane's Meat on Instagram, Shane_Reardon on Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah, pay that man his money.
Yeah, support that man and get some unbelievably great bread.
Yep, just got to pick it up.
Focaccia. See? Working on it.
Yeah, Shane has the most. I've talked about this before. It's the most unique profile of any executive producer in talk radio history. I mean, the man is a unbelievably great chef with elevated tastes, and he can book people. Of course,
well, speaking of that, right there. He should be focusing his efforts on getting us someone from the 2016 Falcons to talk about all these great coaches, and that, of course, would be National Scout Phil Emery. That's the key to the success.
I somewhere in my phone have a picture of me and Phil Emery in Bourbonnais.
Is he still with Atlanta?
He just retired.
He just retired.
That opens Phil Emery up to us. Efforting Phil Emery.
Put it in the Slack. He played another. He referenced another Kerry newcomer track when he retired.
It was a roller
Atlanta.
Coaster season, but they had Mike McDaniel also on staff and Chris Morgan, SEMO.
Oh, right. So our guy, yeah. SEMO.
That's strong.
Man,
it's a strong staff.
That's unbelievable. They had Mike McDaniel. They had three head coaches on. They have four head coaches with Quinn now having a job again.
I mean,
that's top notch stuff.
I mean, look at all the producers that have produced you.
It's true.
Look at that tree. Strong tree.
Yeah. Tree big, strong. Strong, big
sequoia.
Mighty one.
It's
in fact.
Mighty sequoia.
Gotta go, man. Gotta go to the sequoias. I've never been to the sequoias. I want to go to that national park.
Well, yeah.
Very bad.
I guess my intramural team was called the Pine Bluff Bumpkins, and I've never been to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So
your intramural flag football team?
Yeah, we were the Pine Bluff Bumpkins.
I didn't know you had one. This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
The Pine Bluff
Bumpkins.
Okay, not the Blumpkins. The Bumpkins.
Team full of freshmen, and we made it to the championship game.
Oh, see? Look at that.
And then a Lenti stole it from us.
Oh, how dare they? This is amazing. Now, we're going to go out for drinks and just talk about intramural flag football. Or we could do it on the air.
I was really good, man.
Telling me. I was also really good.
I played quarterback, though.
Oh, well, I was nose tackle. And I was...
and the snapper.
And I
lost
snapper. Excuse me. Center.
Sorry.
Center, nose tackle, play caller.
And snapper, Jones.
GM, heart and soul.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
I like that. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about baseball, sons, and fathers.
And basketball, too.
Kind of. Next on The Score.
Here we go. We've been waiting for it. It is the preseason, but LeBron James and LeBron James Jr. are on the floor at the same time.
That is nice. That's really nice.
As they're right next to each other. Of course, they've been playing against each other and with each other.
It looks like LeBron James and Bronny James are going to be on the court at the same time at some point tonight. That's going to be a thing.
That is amazing in and of itself. That a father and son will get to play together. Aside from the machinations, which we touched on with Robert Horry, with Big Shot Bob a little more than an hour ago. That was so, so fun to talk to him. It's just freaking cool, man. It's like, it's a dream for LeBron to get to do that with his son.
The question is it a dream for Bronny?
Well, he's saying all the right things, you know?
I feel bad for him because of the situation that he's in. Because it's not like, of course I want to be in the NBA and... Mm-hmm. My dad is LeBron James, but you do wonder, like, in an honest moment, would he tell you, I would have preferred that he would have taken his thumb off the... He's already given me enough to get me to this point. I would have preferred him taking his thumb off the scale.
It's so... We've seen the heavyweight father and the willing son in the footsteps thing so many times in so many sports.
Yep.
And we know the psychological weight that can have. But, I mean, people do come through it okay.
They do.
Some people do. It's got to be...
Some people end up being great.
Some people end up being great, end up being better than their dad. They end up thriving and having an unbelievable relationship and multiple generations. We've seen so many iterations of it. So... I don't know how Bronny feels. I really don't know. What I do know is that there's going to be two awesome special guests there tonight, and I absolutely freaking love who's going to be there.
Who's going to be there?
Well, we have audio of this, right? This is our friend John Paul Morosi talking to Ken Griffey Jr.
Have you chatted at all with LeBron about playing with Bronny? Has he asked your advice? Have you given some advice from your own experiences?
No, we haven't talked yet. I'm actually going to go to the game. I'm going to take my dad, first father and son to play baseball now. First father and son to play basketball. So it's a big deal for my dad and I to be there. We made history. Now we get to watch history. So that's what's going to be cool about it.
Come on, man. That's got to give you the feels.
That's really awesome.
For anybody who's ever, you know, dreamt of doing something with your dad, you know? And right now I'm thinking about the second Field of Dreams game, the one I was able to attend in Iowa, the Cubs and the Reds. When Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr. emerged from the corn together, that was such an amazingly cool moment. And for them to have this relationship and with LeBron and them, like even if it's non-existent relationship now, for Griffey Jr. to say...
To understand the history of it and make the connection.
We want to be there. I want to take my dad. I'm going to take my dad and make sure to go. I just think that's absolutely awesome.
Well, we already saw a little bit of this earlier this season with the Callahans.
Yeah, we did. Yes, with Callahan, the coach.
Brian and
for
Bill.
For the Titans.
Yeah.
And his father, the offensive line coach. Which is amazing.
It's a great pull, you know, to have that guy, because he's like a really great offensive line coach. Be like, I know someone.
Hey, man, it's my favorite hit and run guest and radio guest of all time. Is Herb Spiegel. That man's been on the radio with me probably 6 times, maybe 7 times. He's still good at 91. He's still a damn good guest. Lucky, lucky, lucky to have it. You had both your parents on House of L, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And shout out to Tony Gill, because he's the one that suggested it. I did a Mother's Day pod with my mom and then a Father's Day pod with my dad. By the way, I highly recommend whoever the parental figures are in your life, you should get something on the record with them.
Absolutely.
Because I found out all sorts of stuff just by asking questions where, like, as an interviewer, I might not have asked as just a son.
Uh-huh.
And I found out all sorts of stuff about, like, my dad's military history, for example.
Yeah.
And talking to him in an interview situation.
So we've both been pretty damn close. I haven't hosted a show with my dad, but I've done segments, and you've done segments with your parents.
Well, I had them on the pod, and my dad actually, I didn't think about it until we started the segment. My dad was teaching at Washington High School when I was coaching football at Washington High School.
Ah.
So I did that for 3 years, and he was in the English department. And my dad's not like the sports guy. Like,
I got you, but you were essentially faculty colleagues?
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's pretty cool.
So is Mr. Holmes and Coach Holmes.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So the question is, what is there an equivalent? Shane, do you have an equivalent that you and your father could do together? Would you like your father to replace Tanny? And Tanny, would you like your father to replace Shane?
No.
For a day?
Neither, because I don't think my dad could even figure out the antenna, and he's relatively young. He's just not even 60. I don't think he can figure that out.
He's got one more day before Bulls basketball.
I don't think he cares at all about the Bulls or the Blackhawks. I can promise you that right now.
How about your dad on bourbon and a buddy?
No. My dad does not drink, so I would not put him in that position to force bourbon down his throat, because I do that with all my other guests. But having my dad sit behind this board, no. I mean, me and my dad just have so many things in common. It's like he's an engineer, but I'm in this. He loves this. I love what he does. It's like when we talk to athletes about movies, or we talk to actors about their favorite sports teams.
Yeah.
That's how our Fichtner relationship was built. So, like, I love to inquire about my dad's job. He's the chief engineer at the Herald Washington, and he has been for like 30 years. I love going there to watch him do what
he
does.
Wow, that's super cool. I didn't
realize
that.
And he loves listening to
this
show. Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, nothing together, but I think we both love admiring each other's careers from where we're at.
Tanny, if you could do something with your dad.
We don't have a lot of similar interests. He loves golf and fishing, and I just can't stand those two things. Like, you know, not for me. So, like, a lot of the father-son things to do, common interests, as, like, you both get older, we don't have those things, except we still have the White Sox.
Yeah. So,
and I will say, like, I've talked about it on the show many times, but, like, you know, he got in at the right time, buying tickets just before the 2005 season, and we spent some really quality time going to games that year. Wow. And just riding that roller coaster and being at game one of the World Series, and just, you know, I was present in that moment enough to realize, like, hey, this is something that he never got to experience with his dad. He was too young at the time, but, like, seeing a White Sox World Series game with your dad, I would love to do it at least one more time before both of us, you know, leave this earth. You know, can you make that happen, White Sox? You know, I'd love the opportunity, you know. It was just so cool.
It's kind of weird because my grandfather played in the Negro Leagues. My dad didn't do sports. Like, he's an academic. But, like, Tanny, like, he loves to go to games. And I'll never forget that when we all thought that Burley was leaving, like, that period of time where we were like, wait, are they getting ready to trade Burley? He was like, we should go see Burley, because Burley was pitching.
Uh-huh.
He's like, we should go see Burley.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So we went. They were playing Baltimore. And I think we literally sat in the 108 section. He's like, we should just go. And so we went.
And you had a hang to.
Yeah, we just, he was beautiful. Like, I want to see Burley one more time. So he pitched a few more starts after that before he left. But that was just a cool thing to have that connection with him.
That's awesome. You know, like, again, like, this moment tonight, I'll be interested to see how the Lakers and the NBA sort of orchestrate it. Baseball is great at those kind of moments. Like, the structure of baseball sort of naturally fits for it. But this ought to be cool tonight. I don't know whether it's a, you know, I don't know if it has to be a blowout for it to happen. They probably make it tonight.
I mean,
at the end of the second quarter, just before halftime, yeah, for a minute, something like that.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Or maybe it's late in the, like, you have to have it in the window of how you're going to space out LeBron's minutes anyway.
Right.
That's probably the smartest way to do it. Yeah. Is like, oh, all right, we're going to get one guy off his feet early. Bronny's going to go in there.
Right.
Not a lot of damage can be done in that period of time.
Right.
They're on the floor at the same time.
It's not a time of consequence yet. LeBron comes back to play with the, you know, he's the first starter to come back or something like that. Plays
right
with the second team, which includes Bronny.
I imagine them checking in at the same time.
Oh, see, I imagine Bronny already on the floor, and LeBron gets to watch his, you know, LeBron checks out and Bronny checks in. I don't know. See, there's a lot of different ways to do it.
There's a lot of smart ways to do it.
Yeah, it could be really cool, and I look forward to watching that tonight and stripping away the
cynicism.
The stripping away the cynicism of it and just enjoying what should be a very unique and cool moment with the Griffies in the house tonight.
Scoop Spiegel is not done. He also found out something about the White Sox that you're going to enjoy?
I think so.
Next on The Score.
Spiegel at home.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
Yeah, it's not something that anyone wanted to be associated with.
So, Lawrence, this bit of White Sox intel reached me today, and I want to share it with you and Shane and Tanny and the listeners, because it's been an ugly situation over there. Would you agree with it? The organization has not been run well and has had some troubles of late.
I mean, all you'd have to do is look at the standings, but yes, I would agree with you.
But we can go bigger than that, can't we?
Sure could.
I mean, how many times have you taken out the driver? How many times have I unleashed a monologue at the beginning of a Sunday morning hit and run? I mean, my goodness.
I enjoy those.
I enjoy the driver. It's like, but it's been, there's been so many things to bash them about. Is it possible that this big bus is slowly making a turn based on some of the things that have gone on?
Yes, that's what, I mean, I've talked to people that have felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually had some conversations with folks over there in the last, like, 6 weeks that have made me feel a lot better
mm-hmm.
about what happens next. But you have people who are way more tuned in on how this is happening.
Yeah, you know, this is, you remember the stories we read, Jeff Passan had the stuff about the former Navy SEAL, Mahler, who has been in charge of the committee that Chris Getz put together to make their recommendations about how the organization could run better, run smoother, be more synergistic, okay? And you remember the letter from Jerry Reinsdorf, the multiple letters, but the one at the end of the season where he talked about, you know, working to modernize the organization, and he himself, Jerry Reinsdorf, dropping the word analytics, using the word analytics twice in that letter at season's end. And I can tell you that the committee has been active, making recommendations, and action has been taking place. Been about a month. So that goes with the 6 weeks that you're talking about. I heard it's been about a month of some very active changes from the top down. The international scouting group, a whole entire new group is getting formed. They hired David Keller away from the Mets. He's been given carte blanche to set up what he wants. But even more than any individual department is what has been happening as they're getting all the departments working together. The analytics department has been rebranded, has been reorganized and rebranded, okay? A little under, around 10 people in the analytics department, which is less than a lot of other organizations already. But it has been reorganized.
Severely less.
It's a lot less. But it's been reorganized and rebranded as research and development.
Ah.
It's an R&D department now, which is what it's always been. That's what analytics is supposed to be. But I think it was being thought about as, well, that's just something we do over in this part. And, you know, maybe the GM could talk to them, or if the manager wants to talk to them, he could. Now it's been rebranded as research and development.
Do you think that that makes it more easily digestible for people who maybe are afraid when they hear the word analytics?
Yes. Yes. And I think that's okay if that's what you need to do. Because
whatever,
frankly,
you got to do.
Whatever you got to do to make the context of what you're actually doing known and acceptable to those people. And I think 121 losses also helps along the way. But yes, it is the research and development department. And members of that team have been reassigned to work closely with other departments. So you've got specific members of now the R&D department now working with scouting, working with acquisition, working with player development, creating the kind of genuine synergy that the organization did not have. And this is some of the basics of how an organization needs to run, but now it's in place where they're allowed to talk to each other. There's some new leadership at some of these departments, and they're all not just allowed to talk to each other, forced and pushed to talk to each other. So this new international scouting department will work with the research and development department.
Because, you know, that's how it should work.
As they build a scouting page for each one of the kids that comes in. All right, let's do this for that kid. Let's have this for this kid. And you start to get some of the basic synergy that It takes a lot to make the change. And Rick Hahn did a lot of changes, but he wasn't able to do absolutely everything that needed to be done.
Because he was fought on a couple of levels of doing everything that he wanted to do. I know that for sure. It reminds me a lot of, and I know that you heard the story, Sue Speaks, of what the Cubs scouting department was like before Theo walked in the door.
That's the stuff. I knew about that stuff intimately. What Theo had to change over.
Guys not having smartphones. Guys having to file paper reports. They're not being a central hub of information that they could draw from. Scouts not being able to talk to each other. Like, it was just chaos. And he streamlined it. So I'm happy to hear that the White Sox are moving into the 21st century by streamlining what they want to do from a research and development standpoint.
Right, for sure. And whoever the new manager is, there will be liaisons in place so the manager can work with the research and development department, and you're not then just kind of hoping your new manager is a numbers guy, that kind of thing. So, look, it's a big and messy double-decker bus with the accordion in the middle. It's double length and double decker, this White Sox bus. But it is making a turn, and that in itself is a positive, I think.
Are we all thumbs up on the double decker oatmeal cream pie? Is that
too sweet.
Too sweet? Tanny?
That's a lot of calories right there.
Have you ever seen that?
So good.
Ever seen that triple? They got a triple.
Oh, no.
That's too much.
That's opulent, right? Like, that's a little too much.
I made a choice almost a decade ago to not allow myself any prepackaged snack cakes.
Oh.
And I've actually held to that. There's been a
That's
lot.
That's impressive.
Okay, Spiegs, you have to understand. What? The history we have with you, we do not believe for a second that you held to it. Because once you were vegetarian at home, then you were, had other people forcing carbs on you, and that lasted a day.
I can't tell you how often this comes up in conversations with my wife, with therapists, with others. Like, remember, you did snack cakes. Like, it is my, one of my... Only
that's a win, man.
It's not one of my only because there have been others actually recently, but that very is a recently. Is a very yes.
Good for you.
That is a very successful one,
dude. I wish I could be like you.
I can't imagine turning down a Zinger or a Cosmic Brownie ever.
I've had enough.
Oh, you're a Cosmic Brownie.
I've had all the Twinkies. Yeah. I've had enough Twinkies. I've had enough
Zebra Cake.
Oh, dude, that's the one.
Donut stick.
That's the one that still tempts
me. The donut stick. The old fashioned donut.
No,
stick.
The Zebra Cakes, man, and the Christmas cakes, which are just a Christmas shaped version of the Zebra.
Yeah,
cakes.
Those are great. Those are really great.
I mean, I'll grab every time there's a Reese's pumpkin or tree or egg.
It's because they get the ratio of peanut butter right.
You're 100% correct. You've been correct on that for decades.
If anybody sees Speaks in a CVS, Walgreens, or 7-Eleven on the way home today, knock his ass out.
Just don't force snack cakes on me.
Like, it's an evil company because you have the Christmas tree cakes, and then at the store next to them, it's the Christmas tree brownies. And they're always right next to them. It's like, I can't choose. Might as well get them both.
And then if February comes around, and they've got the heart-shaped ones.
Stop. Shut up. All of you.
Those are really great,
too. It's one of the only full-on no's I've ever successfully held on to.
You should be proud. That's a hell of an accomplishment. I remember Jay-Z talking about giving up fries. And he'd be like, yeah, I just stopped eating french fries. And I'm like,
Hova?
Yeah, Hove. Yeah.
The Hovester?
Yeah, he did that.
Vegas donut binge? What do you say?
There's a couple of great places not too far from Circa. Oh, that's been scouted, boys. That was the first thing I did when I got to Vegas.
What's that steakhouse called? The
Oscar.
Oscar. Oscar. A brand new one.
There's another one next to Carson Kitchen.
Carson Kitchen, okay.
There's not enough mob vibes in Oscars. We need to find even more mob vibes time around.
That place is great.
Maybe we can eat in the Gangster Museum.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Go over to the pawn shop, too. Go eat over there. I got a buddy. All right, so when we come back, we need to get into something because something connects the old to the new when it comes to the Bears. And I think in a way that every Bears fan can get behind and go, I completely recognize that. We'll explain next on The Score.